I'm Santuan.
I'm Antoine.
And we the Connected Experience.
Bro, what's the Connected Experience?
It's a lifestyle.
The lifestyle.
Our lifestyle.
How that lifestyle been treating you?
Bro, I can't complain, man. So recently we just released a brand new game on the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store. It's called Animal Instinct Racing. It's another branch on the Animal Instinct, the Urban Jungle Tree. So I want everybody to go check that out, download that. Hey, it's tight too, bro.
Yeah.
I ain't even gonna lie. Like, my favorite character is Sergeant Swine. He got the best card of me, bro. Who you rocking with so far?
I don't know, bro, because I just try to switch and play to see who, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I got my most victories came from with Groovy.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. What
my most victories. And I haven't even started adding to her car yet.
That's what I was about to say. See, I didn't even realize that you could add to the car. So with Sergeant Swine car, I'm at max. So I'm
The next iteration of that will happen to be able to play head to head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, you know, we're going to start working on another game. You know, yeah. So I can't wait. And you can also download in the Apple App Store Animal Instinct, the Urban Jungle Puzzle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mama is on the cover of that. If you're familiar with the characters, Mama is on the cover with that. It's Candy Crush-esque. Yeah. It's a puzzle game like that. You know what I'm saying? So that's been out for a minute, though. That was early on when we was...
That came out before the
everything after the book. That's how the lifestyle been treating me. How the lifestyle been treating you?
Yeah, man, the same, man. Listen, man, I ain't gonna lie, man. I was kind of mad at you a couple weeks ago, bro.
For what?
You messed up my perfect season.
Yeah, you know, came out there and popped you boys. You know what I'm saying?
That's good though, because I would.
If I was going over,
I ain't want that to happen to you. But we don't play. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I said we don't play
the game. Yeah. And you know, you automatically made it to the challenge. You was the best team in the league. You shared a record, the same record with somebody, but like overall, like when I look at the teams, you was the best team. Proud of you for that, man. So you got, what's in your title?
Man, what's in my title, man? It's the homeboy, man. It ain't even no rap. It's Comedian Macho. He dropped a comedy album. I was there when he taped the special, right?
Yeah.
So to see the special evolve into the comedy album, we spoke about that actually, but he did it. You know what I mean? And it's on title. It's on everything, but that's what's in my title. And just reliving some of them jokes. And then I just remember that night. It was a good night for me that night.
Yeah. I know why, though. You know what I'm saying?
You was two for one.
Yeah. So what's in my title is Big Hit All That featuring Zoe Osama and Honcho. Now, Big Hit is slowly but surely becoming my favorite rapper, dog. Like, he doing this thing. And Hit Boy and the Blue Bloods about to drop an album, hopefully Friday. I don't know when it's coming out.
Yeah.
It's
I'm waiting for that.
Out the West.
I'm anticipating that.
They Rolling Loud. They had a dope set at Rolling Loud a few weeks ago. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Mo. Mo was at
Rolling Loud. Yeah. What's crazy is I'm looking and I'm like, the only way I could ever even possibly kind of almost see myself going to Rolling Loud is if I'm with an artist and I'm in the back. And I know that's even hectic too, but them crowd shots be looking crazy, man.
That is something like I could never be in the audience at.
Because
you got to wear a diaper, bro. You have to. If you in the front, I guess row, but if you in the front of the stage, imagine how far
I just don't want nobody touching me though. Everybody out here dirty.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Sweating it. When I say dirty, I don't mean like dirty like you a dirty bum. I mean like it's hot out there, niggas sweating.
Been out there for hours.
Niggas throwing water, motherfuckers, all of that, man. Like, I can't even go to nothing like that, bro.
I couldn't do it either, bro. That's one thing I can't do.
Yeah, you hitting some shows in the summer though?
I don't know, man. It just really.
Who got it? I've been thinking about that. I'm gonna go to Paisley Park again because they be having these events. You know what I'm saying? And I think this year I'm gonna go to an event because it's some merch that I want to buy from out there. You know what I'm saying? You know, I got crazy Prince merch, like exclusive shit. You know what I'm saying, son?
Yeah,
like, you ain't got none of that.
Yeah, I don't.
Ain't got none. We got a guest though.
Yeah, we got a guest. I don't rock with Prince like that. I respect his crap, but like, you're a Prince fan. I'm not.
Yeah. Like, but you ain't got no crazy merch from nobody though.
How you know that?
What you got?
Man, I got records, all type of stuff.
What
that's
you got?
Part of it. I mean, I got an original Wu-Tang Into the 36 Chambers record.
Word.
Never opened.
Word. I got an autographed Esham album.
I mean, that okay, that's cool. I got a lot of stuff. I got an E-40 Mailman tape. And what's crazy about this is I re-bought that tape, like, oh, let me get the cassette. And then when I was cleaning up my basement, had that.
Oh, that's dope.
You see
that's
what I'm
dope.
Saying?
What's your favorite piece of merch?
It really depends on, because I only got it to look at it.
I think my favorite piece of merch is my Mac Dre lunchbox.
That's hard.
You know what I'm saying? I think that's my favorite piece of merch. All my Mac Dre shit, but my Mac Dre lunchbox is my favorite, and I can't wait to, like, you know what I'm saying, to set up my area, my home museum is what I'm going to call that shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But Mac Dre, RIP to the Mac, you know what I'm saying? It's going on 20 years, and November 1st this year will be 20 years since the Mac been gone, you know what I'm saying? And I just watched the interview with that boy Sugar Wolf, that boy Doobie.
Yeah.
And, it's the History of the Bay podcast. That's what I was watching, because I'm not a hater, so I'm going to let you know what I was watching. I was watching the History of the Bay podcast, because we bayed out. We love the Bay. We've been loving the Bay.
Well, I'm angstered out, but I love the other bay. Areas.
Yeah. Oh, Welcome Home Mess.
Oh, yeah. That was big for me. That was big for me. I love that. Mess Home. What you know?
Yeah, Welcome
Home. I never done cocaine, though, but if I did, that would be the soundtrack.
Yeah, that would be the soundtrack. Well, he got so many songs, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Hellman, the album with Mitchie Slater. What, man, Mess, when you start striking out, we coming to fuck with you, bro.
We coming.
Yeah, we rather you come out here, though. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So, who was our guest? You know what I'm saying?
So, this is what I like about the show, right? When people come with people, and we be like, "Well, what do you do?" Because you just came with somebody, but you'll be here if you want. Some people be like, "I don't want to be this," you know what I'm saying? But we believe, like, everybody has a story, and even how you get with the people that you came with
is a story,
right? Right. Because, like, so for example, you were here when Cheryl was here, and if anybody remember that episode, we've been knowing Cheryl forever since he would not let her sit on his bed, but now he let the dog sit on his bed. But that stood out
different
to
person.
Me. That stood out to me.
It was you that was.
No, it was me.
It was
no,
you.
No,
it was him. It was him. So, but that's what I'm saying. So we've been knowing her for
a long time.
And when she was like, "I'm bringing my business manager," come on, it's an open door policy because anybody could come. But then we was like, "Oh, you would be on here, like we said, if you want."
And this is who we were talking to off camera. You were hearing us say stuff to someone off camera. It was Paris Melody.
Metley,
I'm sorry.
Jumped out there wrong.
Right,
okay.
Yeah.
You get that a lot.
Did you say Melody because you couldn't read the last name?
I just used to see Melody when I see Metley.
A little dyslexic.
Sorry. So, but I turned that into being an award-winning author a few times over, but I'm not mad at being dyslexic.
You shouldn't be because I feel like everything they say wrong with people, a little bit of that is wrong with everybody.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
No one's perfect.
Yeah. So
I'm
how you doing?
Me, though.
Yeah. I'm great.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, I'm great, and I'm happy that you were able to make it back, right? I'm excited to get into your story because I would like to know how you even begin being someone's manager. So, like, let's get into your story. Where are you actually from?
I'm from Detroit, Michigan.
East side, west side?
West side, actually. 7 miles.
Seven and what?
7 Mile.
Yeah. So, growing up in this is the 80s and the 90s that you were coming into your young adulthood or whatever, I would assume.
70s. Yeah. Well, I'm a 70s baby. But
Okay. So you was raised in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, what was West 7 Mile like in the 80s? Like, straight up. Like.
Well, so I lived on Pembroke.
Okay.
In 7 Mile. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
My mom was a writer. Yeah, me and my brother. It was just us two. It was, you know, a lot of fun. Swimmobiles, you know.
Explain what the swimmobile is for those.
I'm really telling my age. Swimmobile is where the mobile pulls up and all the kids in the neighborhood
get in
there and they swim.
And that's the back?
Back in the day.
Yeah. No. I'm saying, so it's like a big ass bus?
I mean, not so much. It's a
pool on wheels.
Yeah, it's a pool, and it's big, and everybody can get in. Well, I'm quite sure they don't have them anymore, but back then.
Seems like they should now, though.
Yeah.
So the swimmobile just pull up on the block. Like, did somebody call it? That's what I'm saying. How does it get?
Well, maybe, like, you know, maybe like the adults or something like that, because that was something with the city.
Okay.
You know
okay.
what I mean? So, you know, I couldn't tell you. I just know when the swimmobile would pull up, all the kids were excited.
About to have some fun. swimmobile here, right?
That's it.
Just swimmobile. That's how she put it up, like the swimmobile. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So like, so you growing up in the 80s, which was a pivotal time in the United States of America for obvious reasons. That's when crack cocaine was introduced.
Crack cocaine and rap music.
And rap music introduced to every neighborhood, every urban neighborhood. And by urban, we mean black. Did you see your neighborhood take a downturn when these things are starting to happen? Because at this time, this is when like teenagers is becoming millionaires. And
I mean,
7 Mile has always been the most popular street name in Detroit.
Yeah. Well, I remember as a little girl, like YBI.
Yeah.
Pony Down.
Yeah.
Groups like, you know, gangs like that. But, you know, just as a kid, you're not so much focusing too much on the neighborhood. You're just playing with your friends.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know what I mean? So I can't really recall that. Just as a kid, I was a kid.
Yeah. That's good. So I heard you say your brother. Is your brother older or younger than you?
My brother's older than me.
Oh, was he protective over you when the swimmobile came around?
He's protective over me, period.
Still to this day?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good big brother shit. I'm a big brother, little bro. Get up. Big brother. Yeah.
Younger bro. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm the youngest. So
out of five.
I got a man siblings older than me, and that's cool. It's five of us, yeah.
All
a total of five. Actually,
we the only
three
boy.
Girls, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Pops got two sets of twins, and we 8 months apart, but then we have an older sister. So my mother has three kids by my father, and then my father has two outside kids. I ain't going to say outside. Yeah. He got two other kids. They actually older than us, so you know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm really the middle child, and then he's really the youngest. Like, you know what I'm saying? But that's dope. Yeah, that's dope.
I take advantage of it.
Do you?
Hey, y'all want to help your little brother out?
So, you said you had the opportunity to be a kid, but when did you start realizing the decline? Because as the 80s transition into the 90s, now you becoming a teenager. Now motherfuckers are getting cars, coming up to the high school. You becoming conscious of really what's going on around you. So, what was those teenage years like in the 80s and the 90s?
Well, so, we moved away. We moved out of Detroit.
Oh, okay.
We moved to Baltimore.
Word? Crazy. So Bodymore?
So where the wire was taped at, we lived there in Cherry Hill.
Right there.
Killer Hill. That's they used to call it. Because my cousin used to work in Baltimore. And he from out the way. He from Romulus. And they used to go there.
Oh, yeah.
And he used to be like, hey, bro, they call that Killer Hill. They was detailing cars, though. Because when you say work, I don't want people to think.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I'm saying?
But it was, and so my mom ended up passing away.
Oh, sorry to hear that. Oh,
thank you. So my mom ended up passing away. But Baltimore... Now,
so is that the reason y'all moved?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, she we just moved to Baltimore. So Baltimore is where I had to grow up a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Start seeing things, right? Because it's a whole different city.
Yeah.
The schooling system was different. Living, you know what I'm saying? They used to call us country because we would say hot dog, and they would say hot dog, and they would say soda. So it was just a different way of living.
So what was the actual culture shock like? Like coming from because the city fast.
Yes.
But then Baltimore is also considered a big city and it's black. A lot of people don't understand. Like Detroit has always been the blackest city in America. You know what I'm saying? But then when you go
Baltimore
to
Baltimore ain't too far behind.
That's why I say Baltimore not too far behind. So when you so they calling y'all country, but it seemed like y'all would be like more city slicker to them.
It to me and so this was crazy because like what we lived in Cherry Hill, they would call them like row houses.
I hate
right?
them.
So in the back, like in the wire, remember where they were sitting on the couch?
Yeah.
So to go to the grocery store, we had to go down a mountain, cross the pond, come up.
Yeah.
Go down a mountain.
Right? Yeah. And then in the front is the city.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like in the schools are by numbers, 180, 170.
Yeah.
So and then like when I watched the wire, it's like, dang, that's where we lived at.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't know.
Let me say this though. This is why I said I hate row houses, because we had family in Philadelphia, and then when I was younger, probably about 10 years ago, I worked for a company that was based in Philadelphia, and we would have to go out there and do community service. So we would do community service in Philadelphia, Atlantic City over there, New Jersey. And I said I hate them because the concept, right? Because if one of those catch on fire, everybody's is gone. And I just think that it don't matter how nice it look. It's just tragedy strikes. And plus, I won't live wall to wall with another family.
Yeah, very.
And it's like these are row houses. The wall is like this
here,
right? Exactly. This thin. So I just always hated that. That's no slight to them,
right?
You know, they didn't build people the houses.
People take everything so offensive. Like we trying to die in Baltimore. You know what I'm saying?
And them
like,
niggas don't even own them row houses that they
some
get
of them do.
For.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. The nigga get offended, but like, it ain't even yours for real. Like you know, what I'm saying? So and people, a lot of people don't know that The Wire is actually a true story.
Yeah.
That's Little Melvin's story. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like that's so
he's actually in it.
Yeah, he's actually the preacher in it, The Wire. That's Little Melvin. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, we laced up on what be going on around. So how long did you end up staying in Baltimore?
We stayed there a year because after our mom passed, we came back to Detroit to live with our father and grandmother.
Yeah. And so when you came back, was it another culture shock? Because like what I realize about people when they go somewhere and they trying to get acclimated there and then you leave right after you actually probably was just getting acclimated, it's like I don't know which one I like better. Do I just like this because this is home, or was this a better environment for me?
It was, you know, Detroit. I'm a Detroiter, so you know, I was taken out of my element, you know what I mean? And there to me, I gotta be careful because I don't even get offended. But the way that they lived down there was a little
poor.
Tougher. Yeah,
it was poor.
Because it is a black city, but it's actually one of the poorer black cities in America. And that's like these.
That's why the heroin use is so high. Like that being a drug of choice is what actually affects why their neighborhood economy, besides the drug dealers or whatever, is so fucked up, for lack of a better word.
It was just like you guys are saying real poor. Like we even stayed in the projects.
Yeah,
and the projects out there are the projects.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Rough
as a little girl. Yeah, real rough.
Now when you come back to Detroit and after your mom passed, you come back to Detroit, you say you living with pops and grandma. Is this still on the west side?
Yes.
At least, you know what I'm saying?
So now I'm over. So now I'm on Dexter.
Okay.
I'm actually on Fullerton off of Linwood.
Okay, so you're in the thick of things in the hustling aspect of what's going on now. So now you see the difference of what we was talking about as a kid that you didn't notice. Now is on Front Street. So what high school did you end up attending?
Central.
Okay.
I went to Central. I went to Durfee for the middle school, and I went to Central.
Is Durfee the middle school that was from 6th to 9th grade?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because you ain't know that.
No.
It was a middle school that went from 6th to 9th grade, and then you went to Central.
You had Roosevelt.
Yeah.
You had Durfee, and then you had Central.
Yep. I'm going to ask you if you know this lady off mic, because that's how I know about that, because she told me that, and I was like, no way, because I never want my sixth grader in a school with a ninth grader. Like,
well, no. You know what? I'm lying. Durfee was from, they changed it before, they changed it, you know what I'm saying, once I got out of it. But when I went to Durfee, it was from the 6th to the 8th grade.
Okay.
So at the 8th grade, you're going to regular shit.
Yeah. But it was a middle school that went from 6th to 9th grade, because that was the big thing. When you got there, you was like, I'm in high school.
So it was something that caught my attention that you said that I didn't touch on. You said your mom was a writer. So when you say writer, was she writing music? Was she writing books? Was she writing plays? Or she was doing it all?
My mom did write a book.
Yeah.
My mom died early. She was 36.
Oh, okay.
My mom used to work for in the city county building.
Okay.
She used to work under Mayor Young.
Okay.
So she did write a book. I don't
bring the mic a little closer.
I don't remember the book, the name of the book, because I was, you know, like a little girl.
It was published and everything?
I do believe so, if I can remember correctly.
Yeah. I will find that out. So now you are the second guest from this crew who cannot remember what they mom did. I don't know if this a crew thing, and I don't know who the head of this crew, but come on now.
So,
you know what I'm saying? Because that's big, right?
Big.
And
that's
especially
big.
Back then, to get a book published or even have a book ready to be published, because, I mean, if you found it today and it wasn't published, I bet you $100 that you will publish it.
I have to ask my brother.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what's the age difference? Like,
he's 4 years older than me.
4 years older.
And that's a big difference. Yeah, that's a big difference.
Yeah. I was 9
yeah.
when she passed.
So when did you, what was your thing like coming up? Like, did you do sports? Or, like, what did you foresee yourself being while you were growing up? Because I always wonder if people are actually doing what they wanted to do when they grow up.
Can I keep it real?
Yeah. We would prefer it.
I had no goals.
Yeah.
I was abused by my grandmother.
Yeah, that's
sad. I was in a very dark place.
Yeah.
And I was always told I would never be anything.
Yeah.
I would never, you know what I'm saying? So I would read a lot.
Yeah.
I would read.
To take you out of that place?
Yeah, I would read a lot. And then I would just write like little poems and things like that. I was a nerd. I was like, I was a nerd, but people still were drawn to me, right? Like, even though I looked like Urkel's sister in middle school.
That's funny because that was his cousin.
Well, I mean, like.
Alberto Urkel. Yeah.
Like, the clothes I would wear, like, I would wear the turtlenecks that zipped up in the back, like, stuff like that. But now, I still had a personality, right?
Like, when you, now you said that about your grandma, this is your father's mom?
Correct.
And father's moms, they teeter, they can be some mean people, you know? But was this because, like, y'all had to come and she had to, like, step up? Because what I noticed in a bunch of, because I always look back at two generations before us, right? Because that's the only way we can feel like to know how this generation got to where we are now.
Okay.
Right? So I always look at two generations before us. So the generation before me, which would be my parents, they were saying go to college because that should set you up for the rest of your life, because that's what they should have done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But they didn't. What happened is they got mixed up in drugs, the drug trade, drug usage, and because of that, people were taken from the home, kids was misplaced and all of that. But the generation before them, those parents weren't too loving. So that would mean, like, to me, that would mean your grandma, they really weren't loving. The whole thing for that generation was, especially if you have a daughter, get her out the house as quick as possible, because that's just another foot under the table, another mm-hmm. plate we gotta use, mm-hmm. right? So that's what I was saying.
I never even looked at it like that. Yeah.
Yeah, because they trying to get you out the house as quick as possible. So back then, especially down south, oh, you want to marry my daughter? Here, you feel what I'm saying? Right. They trying to get you out of here. So do you think that's what it was, or she just was a mean person?
I think because of the simple fact that, you know, my dad, he was the only child, so he didn't grow up mentally.
Yeah.
So she ended up, basically, he got us, because, right, that's our
father.
But she was the one raising us.
Yeah, because she raising him still.
And so at that point, you know, and she was a heavy drinker.
Yeah.
So I can kind of put the two together,
possibly.
But, however, no matter what I was told, you know, my story is almost similar to Tyler Perry slightly. I would just block that out, and I would be in the corner, and I knew that wasn't true. I knew that I was going to do something. You know what I'm saying? I was going to be more than just what they were, you know, telling me.
Now, so let's fast forward. Is that the reason that you were an abuse advocate? Because you were abused by your grandma? Like, is that the reason that's close to your heart? Because you are an advocate for abuse.
For domestic violence.
For domestic
violence.
In general, yeah.
It's crazy because that now how that happened, how I became part of the domestic violence committee in Southfield. My friend was going through it. He was in a relationship, and he was abused. So I went with him.
What, he was abused by, he was being abused by a woman?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Right. So I met all kinds of people, and then they recruited me.
Yeah.
They were like, you're part of the domestic violence. So, I definitely experienced it. And then in a relationship, I experienced it slightly as well, too.
Okay, now, I want to talk about domestic violence, right? So I think, like, it needs to be defined for people to understand, because, like, some people be in relationships and they might have conflict, but that's not necessarily domestic violence.
Combat, mutual combat.
Yeah, mutual combat. So, right. Like,
so it's domestic violence because it's in the same household, but just, is it mutual? See, this is the thing, right? You will have to ask yourself, is it mutual?
Not me, myself,
no,
personally.
Not you, because you're not, but I'm saying this is, no, actually, yes, you, because is it mutual combat because it started with one person and another person said, I'm not going to keep letting this happen. So if we fight in each other now, it's because one of the people fight
back. Okay,
because I don't see nobody just being together and the argument pop off and they both jump up to slap each other.
No.
Right off rip. You see what I'm saying? So it's only going to be mutual combat because somebody
said, I could see that if they're being abusive to each other and I got to strike first.
Right, but that's only because you know somebody would strike because it's happened before.
Before.
And then a lot of people don't. Because I have daughters, so this is big, right? A lot of people don't recognize the signs early enough because I would believe before, unless you're just vicious, right? So before a slap or a punch, it's the way you talk to her, mm-hmm. or him or her, because women are huge
abusers. That's abusers. What I was getting at.
Like, I have men. That's what I was about
the angle toward, like, because a lot, when you hear domestic violence, a lot of automatically people assume that it's a man beating a woman, and then it really, some of these niggas is got Stockholm syndrome too.
Well, I have a very close friend. And both of his marriages, that in the one he's in now, he was abused by his wife.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've met men, I've interviewed a couple of men that were in a domestic, because here's the thing. And when they call the police, it's like they're laughing at him, because it's like, okay, you're a man. You know what I'm saying? Like, how are you getting abused? But I don't want to put hands on the woman.
Right,
as
right.
a man, because I'm going to go to jail. So it's
That's what I was really actually getting at. Like, a lot of men be, and it's like they suffer in silence because you will get laughed at, and because but that's a double edged sword, because if you laughing at me for getting abused, then you will be trying to
arrest me
for just defending my. That's what I was actually getting at. But we gonna get back to that, because we know that you big on that, and we want to take the time.
Well,
but,
and plus, I just wonder, was that the reason?
Yeah, because we was discussing that earlier. I said, I wonder, how do somebody get into that, like being a strong advocate for
they
that?
They recruited me. It was just like they, you know what I'm saying. And then I'm very private.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I don't open up a lot. So
this the wrong show for that.
Well, I'm you know what I'm saying. So I'm very quiet. So. I approached the lady, young Mrs. Hall, and I told her I wanted to write a play about domestic violence. And the play, I wanted to shed on same-sex couples. So I had a gay couple, two men.
Yeah.
And then I had, a straight couple, a man and a woman.
Okay.
And, I wanted to, and I did.
So you wrote the play. Did it happen? It already happened?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's
what what's the name of the play? You saying the play? No, spit it out there. Yeah.
It's called Why Won't They Leave?
Why won't they leave? Yeah. But before that, when did you discover that you wanted to be an actress? Because not only did you write the play, you directed it and starred in it, too.
No,
but
I wasn't in this one.
Oh, this is not the one you was in?
I wasn't in this one.
Okay.
Cheryl was in this one.
Okay. So how long ago did the play, did you put the play on?
2 years ago.
2022. Okay.
So yeah. Cheryl was the crazy one. But I have been in a play called.
So you typecasted her.
What do you mean?
Because that's what she is.
The crazy
she
one.
She was amazing. She was great.
The abusive woman.
She was.
Right. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah.
Because again, I wanted to shed light that it's just not. She was mentally abusive.
Yeah.
Right?
It's not just physical.
It's just not. It's just not men that are the abusers.
And what? And then you know. What
you look crazy wild with that joint on your head, man.
I'm just saying it looks because that's a mask.
Yeah,
hold on though. But what I tend to find out, right, when people are mentally abused, besides it being hard on them, it's very hard on a next partner and a next partner, right? Because I can always tell when someone who I was dealing with at the time maybe had never been in a genuine loving relationship.
Yeah,
and I don't want to have to, and nobody should or want to, man or woman. We don't want to have to keep proving that we being genuine because you haven't had that before.
Each
because
relationship is different.
Yeah, right. And
I don't carry nothing from the last relationship. Only myself.
That's it.
I'm the only thing that come from the last relationship.
Right. And people need to start doing that. But that's in any relationship. That's business relationships. That's everything, because that's what baggage is. And I think a lot of people don't understand that they even carrying baggage, because they always on the defense. So if we get into a new relationship and you never had flowers and I'm bringing you flowers and all that, I'm even going to do that on Mad Day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just bringing you flowers to just try to impress you. I just bring flowers to the house because I like flowers. And then I had a young lady who never had got flowers, and she was grown.
Wow.
And she was looking at me like, well, what do I want? Well, I can't want nothing more. I'm already having sex with you. I'm not bringing you
there.
She wasn't used to it.
Right. But that's part of the mental abuse also. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's why I said that, because I think it's more people who don't even understand that they being mentally abused than physically abused, mm-hmm. because the mental is stronger than that.
Because
the mental you could carry into your next relationship, right?
Your black eye ain't gonna last for so long,
right? Or
some ice on that, that's gonna heal up,
but right? And that's what I'm saying. And they don't.
With you.
And I don't want to have to. No, like I said, nobody should have to fight through that to prove that they not like that, because that's frustrating, mm-hmm. right? Why should I have to be frustrated?
That, well, that's kind of like mentally abusing
me.
Me, yeah.
Right, well,
yeah.
The person.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
right. So that's huge. How did the play turn out, though?
The play was amazing.
Right.
I had, like, the whole South... I'm very good friends with Chief Barron, so Southfield Police was there. I work at Henry Ford, so I had a lot of support. I had a lot
Henry
of
Ford, what?
Hospital.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you meant high school or hospital, because the name is so synonymous with the area.
I had a lot of support. That was one of my biggest plays. I mean, I've done... That's, like, my fifth or sixth play, but that was, like... the most support that I've had.
So this is a question that just dawned on me, because you said you worked at Henry Ford Hospital, and not because you made prior something, but is it easy for you to spot when somebody is being abused, maybe like a coworker or something, because you spend so much time with them?
And, well, just friends too.
Yeah.
You know, mentally abused. You know?
Yeah.
As far as like control, you know. Yeah, I can see it. But do I tell them?
That was it. But okay. Is it easy for you to spot when somebody is a mental abuser that you may be friends or a coworker with?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And those type of people, I kind of try to stay away from.
Yeah, because they'd do it to anybody.
Okay, no. So how do you spot, how would you say that you spot a mental abuser?
They wear purple hoodies.
I have mentally abused some people. I'm not gonna sit here and lie.
Everybody,
I can't know it until I'm around you and I hear you talking.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I can't just look at you and say, "Oh, you're probably," you know what I mean? I have to observe you.
Yeah.
You know
right. But have you ever told somebody that, like, "Yo, son, you might be mentally abusive"?
So when I started writing, I had a partner.
Oh, okay.
And I told him. Not that, but something else, and now we
to that effect.
We don't talk anymore.
Yeah.
So it was true.
Maybe.
Yeah. See, if somebody told me like that, I know that I've been mentally abusive before, because I was the mind state that I was in, that I recognize that mind state now. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, but when you look back on your
when life. I look back, you know what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. then I also see it as like that kind of was a defense mechanism. So I wasn't naturally setting out to do that, but I didn't believe in no type of love. So I wouldn't believe what you said to me. No way. You want to impress me, bitch, walk on water. You know what I'm saying? And so that was like, I was just a mean person.
Could the water be ice?
They because never
you
said that.
Because I didn't do it. And you would have women that would try to do that.
Exactly. And it wasn't, it still wasn't enough. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, but I recognize that now, you know what I'm saying? But I'm like,
hey, the more I get to know you, like, the more I recognize, like, you are really, you have really been like a messed up person to people.
Because but you have too, though.
Yeah, but no, but I'm just saying, though.
Since people think we so much alike.
What I'm saying. But, you've
been a messed up person to me. I've never been a messed up person to stop it.
I'm just
that's not my perspective. That's the truth. That's the truth. I've never been a messed up person to you.
You don't know that.
I can pinpoint you being a messed up
but
person.
How can you say, how have you been to him if he feels that way?
Well, okay, well, do you feel that way?
Yeah,
I would have to reflect on that. No, I didn't say. I just said
to people.
To people.
So you would have to think back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so think back on it. And then I'm saying, I really want to know. Because you apologize for being a messed up person to me, but that's what I'm saying. But no, because I asked you one time, like, hey,
but I feel. So then I was like, let me actually think about it. Let me actually look back and think about it.
Yeah, but ain't nothing wrong with that. We just.
I mean, because you know, you to become better, you got to self. Reflect, right? And for even from the situation he talking about, like I the lesson I learned in that, like, oh, you don't do that to nobody,
right?
It just happened.
Closest nigga to you who you dress alike, so you was practicing on me.
It ain't even. Well, I guess so. Ended up being practice, because the outlook I thought people had, well, the outlook I had on being with women at the time and the outlook he had on being with women at the time was obviously different.
Right.
Because the influences, even though they might be the same influence, is not influencing people the same way.
So when
I'm listening to this type of music and this message, and I internalize the message and I'm like, oh, that's how it should be. And he listening to that type of music and he thinking that's how it should be with other people. not, gotcha. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. But I ain't mad at that. I'm just saying. It's just an open discussion. So, I know, because I don't want the viewers, oh, they tripping out. Like, no.
And we then we talking 20 years.
We talking, I mean, 20 actually years. More than 20 that. Years. Yeah, you know right. what I'm saying?
You know what okay. I mean?
But it's just, but of course I've been a messed up person and people, and everybody has.
Everybody
because
has.
Because that's somebody else's perspective. Like, how, like, every woman want to be treated like a princess, but right. not, but don't even know what that mean. That's just a false dream that they send you. So every princess don't get treated good.
That's correct.
You feel
I mean,
what
well,
I'm
you
saying?
Know, that's I'm correct. In full belief in the king don't like the queen. That's my whole mentality. Like people say they want to be, women say they want to be treated like the queen. I don't think the king liked the queen.
Do you guys want to hear something? It may be weird to y'all.
Yeah, it probably not question. Weird. Let's go.
I don't like for men to call me a queen.
No,
I don't like that. To me, it sounds very generic, very generic and yeah. fake. Yeah, because yeah. you're calling yeah. all of us that.
But and I'm also
they
telling
don't know
you,
queens. They don't
no,
know.
I'm yeah. also telling you that the king don't. If it's my kingdom and I have a queen, now if you the queen. And you, the king is the only the king because he married to the queen. That might be different,
right?
But if I'm the king and I got the queen, I don't think that he like her. I think that this is what looked best for the kingdom. That's why every king who has ever has concubines and the concubines that no one knows about, a mistress that the whole kingdom know about, and two other girlfriends that's gonna never come out.
Right.
And this is only because this look good. This is aesthetically pleasing to the kingdom.
Right. Right.
This
right.
is an arranged situation.
That makes sense.
You getting what you want out of it. You right. go
you
make
get
your
to be
appearances.
The queen, and more often than other, the king dies first.
Right.
So yeah. so you get all of this when I'm gone. You get enough. You go be happy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I always thought that. Like,
but if I love you, why do I have to put a title on it?
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And
where society put the title.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
It's not even, you know what I mean? Because you can't even, the title couldn't even measure your love for somebody.
Exactly.
Right. right. Just right. like I'm also in the belief that most married people aren't friends.
Yeah.
I always thought that. I can tell when a married couple friends and when they not. Mm-hmm. But again, some of this stuff is just
they look good.
It's aesthetically pleasing. You know what I mean? My mom might have always wanted me to get married if you a man, right? Mm-hmm. Because the man is really the gatekeeper to marriage.
Right.
Right? So my mom always wanted me to get married. This lady goes to our church. My mom knows her. My mom loves her. But you don't
and
even like her.
Their parents
dude.
Love each other.
Right. Like, but you don't even like her.
Just put it together.
Right. And then, yeah. That's dope. Because I think like that too. I think like people just don't be real enough with they self. Like, and I think a lot of times once you, marriage is just a piece of paper. I've been married 3 times, but I'm married right now. But this is a real marriage for me. Like the first time was due to a situation. The second time I thought I was going to be married, but the young lady had blatant father issues, and I knew I couldn't reproduce with somebody who felt like that about their father.
Right.
Because I'm seeing it in real time, and I'm telling her what the real problem was, and she's so caught up in not liking her father, she's not listening to me.
Right.
And I'm telling you for your future, because I'm on my way out this motherfucker.
That's
you know
it.
What I'm
That's
saying?
It. That's
and
it.
I knew I wouldn't be able to reproduce. So my wife now that I have, we've been married 5 years, going on 6 years. We have a daughter, you know what I'm saying? But we don't always get along, and no, we don't be friends most of the time. We get a lot of shit done, but like we just into different shit, you know what I'm yeah, saying? And ain't nothing wrong with that.
No.
Because we were friends first, and that's how we were as friends.
Right.
You know what
right,
I'm saying? And right. then we got married, and that's like, because when people get married, they automatically think they're supposed to perform these roles. Mm-mm. Based on what somebody else say a husband is supposed to do or a wife is supposed to do, and a conversation that's destroying the black community consistently, should you go 50-50, should you pay the, right. all the bills and all of that, and it's like
we're a team.
Yeah, yeah, that's why we married. If I needed a roommate, we could be roommates,
right.
and if we have to be roommates right. to get to the next level, why is anybody arguing about that? Oh, because the internet tells you your husband's supposed to take care of everything and you're not supposed to do nothing for your husband but be married.
But and you know what?
And this is shit from people who not married.
That's it. But and the internet will expose so much and so many people to you. The yeah. internet is very, very dangerous.
The internet is my favorite place on earth.
It's very, very dangerous because what you're putting up is probably not what's happening in real life. Right.
That's the best way to explain it,
yeah.
because most of these people who talking about any situation, mm-hmm. when they log off, they go into a situation
that's
worse.
Actors and
much
actors.
Worse. Yeah,
oh,
yeah. Speaking of acting, you really are an actress.
And I hate it. Yeah.
Well, what you hate about
it? Why do you hate it?
I'm gonna say this. So I did a play with my ex partner called The Partner, And okay.
Now, when you're saying partner, are you saying business partner and...
No, we were not in a relationship.
Okay.
People thought we were, but we weren't. We were really good friends.
Okay.
So the partner was it was written about two partners, and they crossed the line.
Yeah.
Because I played a character by the name of Tower, and he played a character by the name of Camden. So Tower is this independent, strong woman.
What does that mean?
Because that's good.
Well, these are
don't even
that
make sense to me. That never makes sense to you. Strong okay. woman. What
so
does that
she,
mean?
She's strong. She's single.
Yeah, but okay, single well, and strong.
Now, listen, guys, I don't want to get into a fight.
No, this is
twin towers here.
Tower. No, but I said that because like that makes no sense. Strong woman, right?
Well,
you're
yeah,
not
right.
strong because you're a woman,
I'm a woman,
and you're not weak because you're a woman. A person who handles their responsibilities is being an adult. That's male or woman, man or woman. See, you can't say, no, I'm a strong, independent man.
Well, can I finish
talking? Yeah. But when I hear the term strong.
I know. I didn't mean to activate you guys.
Yeah, you activated.
For sure.
Yeah.
You did. She noticed that, too.
So, Tower... So she couldn't keep a man. She dated.
Because she's strong. Because
she's strong. She's strong and independent, of course.
Yeah.
He is strong. Thinker money strong. You feel them? All stuff men don't care about.
Y'all came to the play.
I can tell you because you said the word strong.
Okay, break it down. Break it. Is this on tape? Is any of this on tape?
You ain't tape them?
I didn't record that one.
No. Okay, not that one.
I recorded Why Won't You Leave.
Okay. So we'll get to that. All right.
So Tower, we did it twice. We did that play twice. So Tower, yeah. But she was mental. She was mental because she just couldn't, you know what I'm saying? Like she was mental. So when she ended up
crossing the line
with him, she went crazy. He had a girlfriend.
Okay. Oh yeah, yeah.
She went crazy.
Crazy like what?
She went insane. So I started writing a series and I never finished it. So I may talk without going too deep into it.
Yeah.
They had sex.
Yeah.
She didn't care nothing about the girlfriend.
Was the girlfriend less strong? That's a real question, though. Yeah.
Well, she was kind of dingy a little bit.
She was perfect to get a boyfriend, though, right?
She was kind of dingy a little bit. But then when she really realized what was going on with Tower, you get what I'm saying? Tower took her as a joke. Like, okay, you're just whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
When it ended, which I made it to like it could have been a part two.
Yeah.
Tower like went super crazy to the point where she had a gun. She wanted the girlfriend out the way.
Yeah.
Now after her and
or my man.
After her and Camden hooked up, Camden wanted he didn't want anything to do with Tower because you're ruining my relationship. You know
see, but that's what I was saying. See, that's perfect for what I was saying. That's what I was saying. People really don't be friends, right?
No.
Somebody always got something that they want. Like I have women that's genuine friends, right? So you can't ruin my relationship because if we cross the line, we cross the line. Mm-hmm. So I would be the one ruining my relationship in essence, mm-hmm. right? Because if I didn't do this, this wouldn't ruin my relationship. Now, if you acting like this and we didn't cross the line, then you are crazy.
Right.
But once I had to activate that crazy.
Once we enter, it's a different story.
Yeah.
And this is something that happens so much. Yeah, I wish you would have taken that. Like, goddamn. Like, that's what I was thinking. Like, damn, yeah. I would love to see that.
So, like, I don't like to act. I like to walk. I like to see my audience. I want to know what you're doing. If you're on your phone, that means
you ain't paying attention.
I like to walk. You know what I'm saying?
Walk the
floor.
But
what I learned as a writer and a director, sometimes working with people, you got to get on that stage.
Yeah.
Because you can't come and... It sometimes
can't half step with my stuff.
Sometimes it's hard working with people, and you can't come.
Sometimes
you can't come in my production and tell me what you're not gonna do.
Yeah.
Or like you have me dangling.
Yeah.
I will fire you, even though I didn't memorize the play and I wrote it. I'll learn it.
And you know why? Because especially with entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Some people make it look so easy that everybody think they can do it and they not ready to put the work in. Right?
Yeah.
We've been doing this here, this venture here since 2017. You know how many podcasts that came and went since then?
Oh, yeah.
Because they don't understand the commitment. But that's with everything. You can make it look so easy that people think, I'm going to do that, especially with acting. No, man, you got to rehearse.
You
got to show up. You got to know how to, when we say, no, this is just for blocking, okay, you got to understand all of this, that the movements matter, especially in a play.
Exactly. Yeah, because a play is
it's
one shot, one kill.
You got to know if you mess up, keep going.
You do.
You got to hope that the person across from you know that you keep going after you mess up.
Even speaking about plays, like, so rest in peace, Missy. We used to work with Missy, and we used to, like, executive produced plays. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I heard her.
Yeah, oh, Missy was the truth, man.
Definitely the glue. She was the glue.
They definitely. Oh, man,
Missy was the truth.
What's happening right now in the film industry is she was a. It's because of a lot of people, but she was a big part of that because she worked with all of these people.
I heard.
So a lot of people, first role came through Missy. Yeah. Back when they were doing acting classes, if we talked and you told me you wanted to act, I'd be like, hold on, let me call Missy.
Immediately. Right? So you can get her acting class. Because what we didn't know about Missy when we first met her is like she was getting into everything that she was, because we met her through Doc Miles Dixon at this doing Switchplay TV, but they were so good at it, we thought that they had been doing it, and we was like right there when it was like forming and starting. We didn't know that, and we've been rocking ever since. You know what I'm saying? So we had executive produce some plays with her, and that's when we seen how, if you could be in a play, to me, you're a real actor.
Oh yeah,
like you're the truth to me more than anybody who's been in movies, because. Oh, yeah. To understand
ain't
how
no cut
it ain't no cut.
Stage.
No,
it ain't no
not.
Cut.
Yeah. It's no so, rewind. It's yeah. no. It's no.
So to see somebody in a play, I had a different respect. So then our homeboy Rock, Robert Jackson, but everybody call him Rock right now. He was actually in one of the plays that we executive produced, and we didn't even know that.
Wow.
At the time,
because we didn't know each other.
We didn't know
each other. But then when we get to know each other, he was like, yeah, man, I started in a play called such and such. I went in my basement. I found the poster. I sent him down. I said, this right here? He said, yeah, that was my first play. I said, man, we executive produced that. So, okay, so was it the success of the first play that made you do the second play, or you just caught that bug? Because entertainment, you catch that bug, you want to keep churning the wheel.
I can, you know what, guys? I just have a gift. Like, yeah. I can go home and write a play right now. It just all depends on how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that comes from reading a lot as a kid.
Just
that
reading
you,
a lot, and then just, you know.
And like, it's hereditary.
Yeah, and then just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can make characters up in my head and just bring it to life.
So you are crazy. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, you hear voices, and then you give those voices names. And stuff.
And then you
ain't
put a story
to
it. That's everybody. First of all, if you're writing anything with other characters, you have to be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because, like, the imagination is so beautiful mm-hmm. that people don't understand the power of the imagination. That's why I don't care what people say. I don't review people's stuff, because no matter how good or bad somebody think it is, this started with just a little thought of, I can do it.
Right.
And then this, so I'm going to talk about this person, then they go,
yeah,
this,
I never read it. Yeah,
right. And it's like, it's out.
Right.
Other people can see it. Because once you put the gift in the world, there's nothing you can do about it.
That's why I hate how people try to talk about Tubi. Like, Tubi has given more independence, has made more people that's independent money than the music industry has in the last 20 years.
And opportunity.
And opportunity.
Now, what people decide to press play on is nothing we can do about that. What bring people back to press play is nothing we can do about that. That has less to do about the creator of the content and more to do with the psyche of the person watching the content. And people don't factor that into their mind. Like, whatever you press play on, that's what you attracted to mentally.
Right.
So if you want to keep seeing this stuff, as a creator, why would I stop putting
exactly.
it out?
Right. Because, yeah. Why would somebody stop writing I Fell in Love with an Inkster Thug Part 77 if Part 75, 1 through 75, made them some money and people was fucking with it? Like, who am I to judge that this is trash? Or,
and some people, this is their escape.
Yeah,
what I watch is my escape. Yeah. What I write is my escape.
Okay. I'm totally different from, you know what I'm saying.
And I think people, because
I watch Basketball Wives and
Love and Hip Hop,
Love and Marriage, Huntsville, DC, and all that, and I laugh at that type of shit, and it's just because this is my guilty pleasure.
That's
you know
it.
What I'm saying?
That's
it's
it.
Just, yeah, it's really my entertainment.
And I don't need to be judged because it's what I like to watch. You know
but
what I mean?
People give Tubi such like a bad rap, and I'm like, where else could people put this stuff at? And people really watching a lot of this shit because it's part twos and threes. And
not only is part twos and threes, I see people from the city talking about movies that was made in Memphis and Philadelphia. I see people in Memphis and Philadelphia talking about movies that was made in Detroit, right? So what that is showing you is that this is authentically grown. And first of all, Tubi is not only for those movies. People acting like this is something new. Tubi is just Fox's free app. So
free streaming
anything,
service.
Yeah, free okay. streaming
so, well,
service.
Let me say this. Tubi, some of the movies on Tubi look really, you know,
Well, but see, that's a quality thing, more of a, that's a Tubi thing more than the person watching it, right? But again, that's still somebody, that's the only way I could do the first one, right? So if this first one pop, nah, no, okay. Because just like, I mean, even being a playwright, you like, okay, next time we ain't gonna have it at this theater because we made a little more money, but we know people more comfortable coming here. It could be something as simple as they got their own parking lot, right? So it was like, so you gotta work what you got. Some people don't got, and a lot of people just don't know.
You're right.
Because the barrier, because
they got to pass a quality.
Quality is the barrier of entry for anything that's done with technology is at an all-time low now, right? You could pick whatever type of phone up and shoot something, and it'll pass the quality control test.
That's what I'm about to say. It'll pass the quality control test.
Is it? If somebody press play on it, somebody press play
on
it.
Well, I guess just because I've been in it for a minute, so I know how I would want my stuff to look.
Yeah.
Quality, visually, right. Exactly. Aesthetically, yeah, right.
Right.
So a lot of people do. That's why it's a lot of great looking stuff. So I'd say this about Tubi. I've seen poorly shot movies with great scripts. But then I seen great scripts with horrible actors.
Yeah.
Like and then there's great scripts, great actors, poor quality, poor sound. Because sound is the most important of all of it. You know what I'm saying?
Lighting.
Yeah. So I've seen various ways that the movie could improve, but that's because we shot movies in Hollywood before.
See.
So we looking at it different anyway. And then.
Well, you looking at it different. I'm looking at, I don't know what that person had to work.
No.
That's the only way. That's why I said I can't judge the content. I don't know what that person had to work with, right? Some of these people on their last dollar trying to make it.
Oh, yeah.
So and that's not even a lot of the people. Some of these people getting investors and skimming off the top. Some of these people playing it straight up. If I got a crowdfund and I get investors, I'm putting everything into it.
Right.
So that's why I say I can never judge.
Yeah,
because
I
know, because from being a creator, I know a star here. So if you can even get it this far,
well, mine stars here,
love
bro.
It.
Mine stars here.
In your heart.
Okay.
Yeah, mine stars here.
Yeah.
Because the biggest thing that ever happened to us in life with what we doing started here.
Yeah.
Right. I want you to remember that. Yeah. I never wronged
you. That's not the biggest thing.
You crazy. I never wronged you.
Because you don't know what's next.
I
you don't know what's next.
I know
that's one of the bigger things.
Yeah,
right? But we don't know
where did it start at?
Yeah. It's for me, it started after the fact.
It started right here. Just you know what I'm saying?
Our starting point.
Because you're my little brother.
Yeah, I'm your younger brother.
Yeah, you're my little brother and I take care of you.
So like how, like, since it was only you and your brother, like, do you have nieces and nephews?
No.
So it's still just y'all two?
Well, we have other brothers and sisters.
I'm saying, you're saying from the mom.
But my mom, it's just me and my brother.
So how supportive had the family been with you garnering off in the entertainment? Because just because your grandma said those foul things.
And my dad.
Oh, Pop said that too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my brother is my everything.
Yeah.
So
he always there.
That's what matters. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know. He's at every show.
Yeah. I love that.
He tells me as far as business, and my brother preaches. He says a lot of stuff that's true. Like, you know, you're going to get into different crowds of people. Like, you may not have the same friends that you had or run in the same circle with people. You know what I'm saying? He's very positive. He's very, very positive.
That's dope.
Yeah.
That's dope. Yeah, and you feel support. Like your brother never wronged you?
And the thing is, right, I'm not even a get over it type of person, right? You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying, I can never tell somebody to get over it. You was over it when you did it.
You're right.
So he's, I mean, like, as kids, yeah, but like,
because
I love
used to be best friends, but then like, We better friends now. We not best friends. We're better friends than we ever been. But at the end of the day, we brothers. Like
right,
you know what I'm saying.
Right.
And that a lot mean of that lot. Come from looking at people as an individual too, right? Because we know some twins who don't even talk to each other.
And we
can never imagine that, right? So it's like they weren't friends. And foster the relationship. Right. Every relationship in your life has to be fostered.
It does,
right? Like I tell my daughters, right? Right now, I'm gonna tell you what to do. But I also want you to understand that you'll see when you get older. And you might get older and we have a great relationship.
Right.
Or you might get older and we don't speak. Long as I take you from childhood to adulthood, that was my job. Now, what I want to do while doing my job is maintain a relationship where we still communicate.
Because I'm going to have to take off my dad hat and be a friend.
Right.
But when I put my dad hat on,
I'm your dad.
And friendship is out the window. Now I'm looking at it strictly from a dad perspective. I don't give a damn about your friends because I ain't one of them. I ain't one of your little friends.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So, because that's what I tell my daughter, because like my daughter is doing super great. It was literacy month in March. She going around to the classes to read to each class for a week. She got her books in the library at the school that she go to for literacy night. She set up a booth and sold books and stuff. You know what I'm saying? And as your dad, I put that business together for you. Now you got your own schedule. Now you do it. And as your friend, I'm super happy for you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But as your dad, this is business. You don't play with this because this is the business that I'm building for you.
Exactly.
You take it and run with it. If you take it and don't run with it, I'm not mad, but you can never look back and be one of them motherfuckers like, well, my parents didn't support me, blah, blah, blah. Come on, my nigga. That ain't true.
Right.
I could show you where it's not true. I gave you your own lane.
Right.
Now, if you don't want that lane, I'm not mad at it because when you told me you want that lane, I gave it to you and I told you, oh, in order to maintain it, you got to put in the work.
You got to maintain it.
I'm showing you.
Yeah.
So do you have children?
No.
No, she said it.
Right. So are your clients?
Well, I have God kids.
Yeah, I was about to say, are your clients like your children?
No.
You know, I'm saying you don't play like a motherly role?
Kind of, sort of, yeah, I do.
Yeah, I said that because we talking about you, right? But you also manage, you business manage, you artist manage, and
that's
managing an artist is
it's hard. Well, the thing with me is that it is kind of like babysitting, but I don't want to feel like it. If I feel like that I'm babysitting you, I'll drop you.
Yeah, how did you get into management?
It just came. Everything just comes to me.
When is your birthday?
May 16th. I'm a Taurus.
Oh, almost. God damn.
What's wrong?
May 22nd.
You're a Gemini.
And we twins.
My ex-husband was a Gemini.
Yeah.
24.
May 24th.
That's my dog Charlie's birthday.
That can get on the bed and Cheryl couldn't. That's Charlie's birthday.
Charlie's still alive?
For sure.
Yeah, it's a real dog.
My dog.
Oh, my God.
But my dad's birthday is May 23rd, so we're the 22nd. My dad's the 23rd, and my dog is the 24th.
Yeah, May 16th. I'm a Taurus. Same day as Janet Jackson.
Yeah.
Word. I love Janet Jackson. So.
Yeah, you love Janet Jackson?
I love Janet Jackson.
You think she can sing?
I think she's more of a performer.
She's
more of a performer.
Yeah, because that one song, that's the way love goes.
I love it.
Have you ever listened to that song?
The vocal tones?
No, not the vocal tones. Have you ever listened to the song?
No
verse. She say the exact same thing all the time, and then that's the way love goes.
Okay.
Right? I'm just telling you, I don't have nothing against that song, but listen, one day I was partaking, right? So I said, you know what? I'm going to start listening to these old songs, seeing if they was really good songs.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first one that came on. I looked at my wife, I said, well, am I tripping? Like
So I get high and I listen to like Rick James and Boosie Collins.
That's
and shit.
The way love goes.
Yeah, them niggas was
go back and listen to it today. I know you know the song, but listen though, key in though and be like, I've been tripping.
Okay.
I love Janet Jackson though. They Jackson.
They
I'm
Jackson.
A Jackson.
I'm a Jackson. Yeah.
Like listen,
yeah, that's you the strongest ain't bloodline in the world.
Because ain't nobody on the face of the earth ever been more famous than Michael Jackson in any time period.
No.
In any time period. So it's like. To come from Gary, Indiana, and be the most famous person ever in the world?
Yeah.
He can moonwalk. He ain't never been to the moon. Come on. Is that an earthwalk there? You feel what I'm saying? You ain't never been to the moon. You said I'm moonwalking. We can't prove him wrong.
Well.
Because we never been to the moon.
That's it.
He haven't either.
So you say you May 16th. Yeah.
Okay. So who was the first person you managed? How long has your management career spanned?
I've been doing it like a couple of years.
Yeah. Do you like it? Like overall?
I'm kind of like a Candy Burgess. Yeah. I mean, if I vibe with my people, right?
Yeah.
Like, so, like me and Cheryl, we vibe. You know, women, working with women sometimes can be difficult.
I actually look at it the exact opposite, but it's probably because I'm not a woman.
Yeah. It can be difficult sometimes work, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't have that with Cheryl.
That's good.
And then, like, you know, he's pretty quiet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But.
Okay. So when you talk to him, tell him he's going to have to talk on the interview, though.
Definitely. He's like really, really shy. I don't know.
I could tell.
A lot of people don't think that he would No, a lot of people don't, when they hear him sing, they're surprised because he doesn't talk much.
Yeah, he's real shy.
But
the industry could change that.
I know it.
That's actually a jewel to hold on to because the industry could change that. Yeah. But when he busts that joint out and sing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Cause you, Cheryl, she do cosmetics and
absolutely
right, and then he sings. So are you just like, how do you bring on clients? Cause those are two drastically different things.
Well, those are the only two that I have so far.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of people and people come to me and ask me.
Yeah,
I'm more so, you know, I'm a writer first.
Yeah.
A
bracelet wearer second.
I actually had a talk show called PM's Red Room.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to get into that.
How you know about PM's Red Room?
We do our research.
Sorry, I read your bio. Silly me.
Talk about that, because you said a talk show and a talk show. So
this is a real
that.
Talk show.
It's a talk show.
Yeah.
Talk show, I had guests on there. I was interviewing them.
Yeah.
Certain guests were domestic violence.
Okay.
I had a young lady. Her story was in Detroit, the bus driver. Y'all may have heard about it. His name was Short Dog. It happened like a few years ago. But anyway, she was in an abusive relationship. Things happened. She ended up having to, she killed.
Fend for herself.
Yeah, that part.
Fend for herself.
So, you know, and then I'm another young lady where she was, when she was younger, she was shot like 6 times.
Okay.
So those were the type of interviews that I was doing. You know what I mean?
Out of 10 relationships, how many you think domestic violence is involved in? If you can say it, out of 10, yeah.
I go 4 for 10.
I'm gonna say about 7.
7.
Damn.
I'm just guessing.
You can't be factual because men don't report.
Yeah, they don't.
Right, so you can't even be factual.
Yeah. So yeah, probably. Yeah. So the stories were really, really deep. The men that I had interviewed, one of them was very popular. You guys are probably, I don't know. Do you guys remember Fantastic Sam's?
Yeah, that's the haircut place?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So he was he used to own that. And he was in a domestic violence relationship. So that's what I was kind of doing. And so I had guests on the show because I always want to help the audience, right?
Yeah.
Because somebody is going through that.
You're right.
And they're not comfortable with coming out with it. So if they heard the story, then maybe they would.
Right. Or maybe they'd just leave.
That's why I wrote the play, Why Won't They Leave? There's so many reasons as to why won't a person leave.
Yeah.
They won't leave because maybe they feel like they can't live without this person, or they're staying for the kids, or
this person gonna live without you if you stay in this relationship.
What I'm saying? Financial reasons, like why won't they leave? That's such a broad topic. Why won't you leave?
And these are really all barriers people place in front of them to like, that's part of the mental abuse, right? You go live without everybody who you leave anyway.
Right.
So before it even get to where you're not the one living, you might as well leave. That's, like I said, that's men or women. And I just was thinking, like, maybe a lot of this domestic violence, I think this may come from, like, the lack of early childhood development. Because the earlier somebody can learn to deal with conflict, their problems internally, how things that may happen to them, get over those hurdles, the easier it'll be to be even in a relationship with somebody.
Right, because people don't understand when they're getting in relationships what that actually means until it's too late and you look up and you like, this is what it means to be in a relationship. Like, you have to work.
Well, their relationships are only defined by their scope of it.
Yeah, that's what I mean, but people don't understand.
Even with that, right, you got to think about this, right? What you think a relationship is and what your girl might think a relationship
are two
is,
different.
It can be so far apart that she used to domestic violence.
Right.
So now you not, right? Because my whole mantra is, if I got to beat you, I don't need you. Let the next nigga do it.
But
word to Soldier Slim.
Okay, so for
instance. Be upset at that, though.
We think about Krishan and Blueface.
Right.
That's toxic.
Right.
They're toxic to each other.
Right.
But
Somebody loves that, but then
I would look
at her where she come from, and you look at the mother that he had.
Yes.
Like, so you under these are the kids of that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
that's back to the early childhood development,
right? And she from B-more.
I'm telling you, man. I think that's what we overlooking. And see, that's a societal issue.
It is.
Right? Because I always say, right, I don't have nightmares, but my worst nightmare would be my daughter being with a man who, one, can't read, because I know, I understand that the literacy level is how they say if you're going to prison or not, right? Mm-hmm. By the it used to be the fifth, it's the third grade now, because of No Child Left Behind.
Oh, wow.
Right? So I understand that, right? So we tell both our daughters.
Read and comprehend.
No, that's the second thing, right? Yeah. So we tell both our daughters, the person you with, first make sure they can read, then make sure they can comprehend what they read, right? Because those go hand in hand.
And they're two different things.
And two different things, because a lot of people can read but don't understand what they're reading. Right? Mm-hmm. Or somebody who's abusive. Because I don't play that. You didn't grow up in this environment.
Exactly.
So it's nothing nobody can do to you so good that what should allow you to
stay
to stay or get slapped on. We not poor, so you not gonna have a story that you always wanted something and never got it.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You didn't see your mother getting abused. You didn't see your father getting abused, because I would step in if you were abusing that person.
Right.
Hey, bro, I love you. This my daughter, but just push on, because this not the right situation for you.
Right.
Because eventually, it will become mutual combat, and you can't stop somebody or say they overreacted because you've been poking a bear so long.
Right.
Because he might not have came from that environment. So,
yeah.
But like I was saying, that's a societal problem, and I think that should be one of the focuses. But a lot of that is because people become parents at such young ages.
Right.
And they don't understand, just because you can tell this kid what to do, you don't know what to do in life yourself.
Exactly.
Right. That's the harsh reality of it.
And a lot of people, a lot of kids, when they become parents, their parents are done with them.
Yeah.
Like yeah. It's no way.
That's the last thing they need.
That's what I'm about to say. Like, I had my daughter when I was 35 years old, mm-hmm. 34 years old, you know what I'm saying? Ain't no way I could have had no kid when I was 18, 19, 15, 16, just because of how I was when I was 35, how it was.
Right.
Ain't no way. And the last thing I would have to want to do is be a kid with a baby mother who baby mother hates you for getting their daughter pregnant, so now they hate your daughter too. I mean, they hate their daughter too, but act like they love the kid. That don't even make sense.
It doesn't.
You're supposed to embrace the... Me and my wife have had a discussion that if our daughter was to get pregnant at a young age or whatever, and she had the baby, we're taking the baby and we're making sure you stay on track to be the baby's mother.
Right.
But I'll take the baby and make sure it has insurance. You're not going to the state. Because once you have a baby when you're young, you just jump right up in the system. You get state insurance.
Yeah.
You're
right.
All the bullshit.
You are
no,
right.
None of that's happening, because you ain't never been on state insurance. So, no, however we got to get this baby to where I'm the primary. Get the other family not go contest. Because if you say no, that means you must want to do it. And nobody want to do that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And motherfuckers, that's part of the... That shit started domestic violence too, because now y'all got two kids that don't know what the fuck to do, and they trying to be in a relationship, and they kids, and they fussing and fighting because they don't know what's going on with them just being kids, because babies change people. And so you know what it'll do to a 14, 15, 16-year-old girl, because we seen what postpartum do to bitches who done had, women who done had kids.
Right.
Who old enough. You know
adult
what I'm saying?
Women.
Adult women. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Well, so, and so me and my brother, we have discussions, and he said something to me that really stuck in my head, that society is setting it up to where the black man is not in the household anymore, right? Because if they're on Section 8, the man is not supposed... You can't have anyone living with you.
Right.
The man isn't supposed to be there. So then, at this point, you have so many women in, you know, saying, I don't need a man.
Right. And we
that's when people say strong, independent, that's
why we ask that.
Right. Because nobody is independent of nobody. Right. That's right. Not even a real thing.
Right.
That's I'm saying the word independent is a falsity. It's not real, because you independent. Right. How you an entrepreneur if you independent? Because you have clients. Right.
Right.
That so you not end up you don't make money independently. We live in America, right?
Right.
Everybody is dependent on the something. American system,
yes.
To work.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So you because you own state aid, lady, you can't be independent,
no.
Because the state stepped in and took care of
right.
The situation.
And right.
So and when you own state aid and they kick the black man or the father out the house, because
right,
it happened
right.
To a lot of people. You know, this is a issue that's just not for black people. So I want people to stop acting like it's just black people.
Right.
But the government is actually your child's father now, and the government comes to collect, because that child will more than likely 85% of the time end up in prison. So the government the government go get that back out of you. The insurance, the welfare, and all that. Your child is actually going to pay for that because they're going to go to prison, and they're going to do free labor or labor at the lowest cost that you could possibly do it.
Right.
And that's making up for mom kicking the dad out the house.
Right.
Because statistically, it shows that single fathers raise better kids than single mothers.
They raise better productive people, citizens in the United States of America.
Better citizens. Yeah. But before we get up out of here, we would like to know, how can people contact you?
Well, first, is it somewhere that we could see
watch the play?
Yeah. You can go onto my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
It's under Paris Medley. So that's P as in Paul, A as in Apple, two R's, R as in Robert, R as in Robert, I as in if, S as in Sam, Medley, M as in Mary, E as in eat, D as in dog, L as in like, E as in eat, Y as in you. That's in my YouTube. So that's under PM's Red Room.
So we got episodes of PM's Red Room and the play on there?
Yeah.
Okay, dope. I'm definitely about to check that play out.
Oh, yeah.
So about the PM's Red Room, just to get back to that real quick, are you doing any more episodes?
I took a break, but I'm getting back into it.
When you get back into it, have a song. It ain't based on domestic violence, right?
It's really,
Okay.
No. I like to talk about all kinds of stuff, but my topics is that I want to have the people there so they can, it's educating my audience.
Yeah, but definitely.
So is it a live audience? When you did it?
No, it was, I just would go live and I just would record.
Okay.
Basically, like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, we definitely like to be.
You have people that you handle their business for. What's next for you? That's for you. That don't have nothing to do with no clients.
I want to turn Why Won't They Leave into a movie.
Okay.
You know, that's my next biggest task.
How close are we to that?
Not at all.
Yeah. Well, actually, it is at all, because at least it's a place. So I would say you're actually 40% there.
40% there.
Yeah, 40%.
Yeah, see, and you ain't even get your strong, independent ass a chance.
No. Tower was that.
I'm talking shit.
A regular.
But Tower was the in the other play, right?
Tower was one of the partners. Tower. She was crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I did have.
You know what? The only thing about plays, right?
What?
For them to really get buzzing, you got to go on runs with them.
I need a manager.
Right. That's the only thing when we was doing the plays. I said, man, this you can't
three
just
nights
do
is cool.
I don't listen. I'm okay with doing a movie. The state, it's cool to do the stage plays. It's more work, though.
Yeah.
It's more work. You know, I'm not going to say I'll never do another one again. I probably will, but I want to get into the filming industry.
Yeah.
And shout
because,
out,
like I said, those, you got to go on the run because people in Maryland got to be talking about, like, people in Detroit,
exactly.
But that's only if you get it to them.
Exactly.
You know
Tyler
what I'm saying?
Tyler had a big, he got to be,
did you ever think about just, putting a play out in the film form that you got it while working on the other film?
The actual film?
No.
You know why, though? Because I think when it comes to plays, to really feel it, you have to
be live. There.
Yeah. I don't think I can watch a play like over the TV and get the same reaction, because it's just a feeling in
the
air. You know what I'm saying?
It's all vibe, like it's all energetic.
They have to feel you. They have to. And that's what I try to do. I try to write about true stories. So yeah, they have to feel you. So yeah, I get it.
Instagram, Facebook, you on there?
I'm on Facebook, Paris Medley. I am on Instagram, PM's Red Room.
Are you active though?
On Instagram?
Yeah.
I'm learning it.
Yeah.
I go on there like
so
maybe
PM
once or twice a week.
Red Room.
PM Red Room. You should see me pop up.
And you actually got a dope style. Like, I like the way you dress. I like the accessories. Yes, I really, see, I'm an accessory guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, the bracelets and shit. Then the glasses.
You like my glasses.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely
thank
like her glasses.
Thank you so much.
Here, type
did
it in for
me.
No, that's what I said. Just type it in for me.
It was a pleasure having you. AJ, if they want to get with you, how could they get with you?
Man, right now, man, just go to the YouTube, The Connected Experience, become a subscriber.
The Connected Experience
podcast visuals, but it's gonna pop up when you type in The Connected Experience.
We pop it.
Right.
We got over 1,000.
Yeah, we got 1,100 subscribers now. Become a subscriber. We coming with these conversations.
Every Monday is the new, every Wednesday is the vault. You know what I mean?
1:30 on both of them. 1:30 PM on both of them.
You know what I mean?
And what is so funny, right? That no matter how much we tell people, like, Wednesday is the vault and Monday is the new, they just don't understand get it because what's going it's like, on. No, bro, I don't got
braids no more. Yeah. And I'm like way lower on the weight. But if you want to contact me, you can hit me up at everythingshelby.com. Get your merch, get your books. We launching a book club, Shelby's Book Club, so you can sign up on everythingshelby.com. And we
that's nice. I just found that out.
Yeah, that's why you're taking the pictures.
Because she said that, and I was like, I didn't know.
Yeah, so we launching a book club. So I just actually redid the site, updated the bio and all of that. Oh, you can also go to animalinstinctracing.fun, and you can download Animal Instinct Racing, and that's for your Androids or your iPhones, you know what I'm saying? So Animal Instinct, the Urban Jungle, you can stream that.
We ever did.
Yeah.
Animal Instinct. Yeah, that came from here.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Y'all got some dope projects coming up. I can't wait to see that other one.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. It's out, but I ain't just gonna say where it's out at because I don't want you to spend no dollar with me. Right. I want you to enjoy the content and everything else. I know what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I know. Right. So
Yeah.
But Animal Instinct, the Urban Jungle animated. You could Google that and wherever it pop up and you can watch it at. Right now, watch it there.
Yeah.
But it's going to debut somewhere pretty soon. You know what I'm saying?
I'm waiting on that.
Yeah.
I'm waiting on that. Yeah. I'm Antoine.
I'm Santoine.
I want for my brother what I want for myself.